Mercies renewed every morning. Praise the Lord. Let's turn our attention to the fifth chapter of Ephesians this morning. That's where we will begin. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of a sweet smell. I want to continue the series that we began some time ago, Our Walk in Christ. And today I want to concentrate for a little while on the fact that we are to walk in love. As we find here in verse 2, walk in love. I would notice, first of all, that this is a command. Actually, it's not simply a request. It really is a command. We read here in Ephesians 5:1. Now, this is from the Authorized Standard Version. Be ye therefore imitators of God as beloved children. And this simply is what God has commanded, really, that we should do. And so as we read here in verse 2, walk in love. It is, I say once again, a command. And then I also want to notice here that the little word walk, that tells us of outward practicality. And that means that this walk is to be manifest both to God and to man. It is a walk in love. And then we're really given an example of what that means to walk in love, for Christ himself is that example. Jesus demonstrated for us how to walk in love. And we see it here as we read, Christ also has loved us. And then the way he showed that is the rest of this verse. He hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice. And you find that to be true, that genuine love, the sacrifice of genuine love, often demands sacrifice. It did on the part of Jesus, and it will in our own lives if we follow him implicitly. And so he has given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And it is a sweetness unto God. It is not that God loves to see suffering. God enjoys the obedience which brought it about. And so God himself knows what it is to sacrifice, for he sacrificed his own son there at the cross of Calvary for us. And so our lives are to be a sacrifice, or a sweet-smelling sacrifice, a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Let us turn now to the 14th chapter of John. Going to see a little more instruction in these ways of divine love. Remember, we are to walk in love. And we really don't have to guess about what it means. We are given a number of examples, illustrations in Scripture, and the chief one being Christ himself, as we have noted. And so, if you turn to the 14th chapter of John, let us just begin with the 13th verse of this chapter. John 14, 13. And Jesus throws the gate wide open, so to speak. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. But notice it is that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What he does may be a great benefit to us, and indeed it will be. But the real purpose for supplying the want or the need is to glorify God. This is the whole purpose. That was indeed the purpose of Jesus. It is still that purpose of Jesus as we allow him to relive his life in us. He says in verse 14, if you ask anything in my name. In my name is not some magical connotation. It refers to an attitude that we ask as he did. We come to the Father as he did. We come in the same light with the same purpose as Jesus did. That's what it means to ask anything in my name. Coming in, asking as though Jesus were asking himself. And so, if you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. How can he do that? Because he would ask according to the will of God. He was in harmony with the will of God, and indeed, we must be in our own experience and will be if we are praying in Jesus' name, allowing him once again to relive his life in these mortal bodies. Verse 15, if you love me, I love this. It is from the American Standard Version. This is the way it reads in the American Standard. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. They are kept because of divine love. And so, again, the proof of divine love, it actually dictates action. It is not something, well, just a matter-of-fact love, but divine love demands action. Jesus set it forth, as I've already said. God set it forth, so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. There was action attached to that love. And so we find that real love indeed demands action. And so if you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. You will. Not you will try. You will keep my commandments. Be subject unto the will of God, indeed unto the word of God. Let us turn now to the 10th chapter of John for a little bit more instruction and demonstration of Jesus and his love. And I say once again, this is not a pattern that we try to imitate. What would Jesus do? This is a matter of letting Jesus live his life in us, giving him free rein to do what he would in these mortal bodies. And so, turning to John 10, let's go down to verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. We know there is none good but God. So Jesus is testifying here that he is God. And indeed he is. This is what the Jews absolutely would not accept. But eventually they will. We know that. But here at this particular time, I am the good shepherd. Again, good coming only from God. The good shepherd. And this is what he does. He lays down his life for the sheep. And so, action because of divine love. Jesus' action is dictated by divine love. We'll not turn there, but Galatians 2:20 gives us Paul's understanding and instruction in this matter. Galatians 2:20, we know it well. Paul says, I am, or more correctly, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And then he is very quick to add, yet not I. It's not I that's living. It is Christ that liveth in me. And then he says this, the life which I now live in the flesh, that is in this mortal body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And then he is identified, who loved me and gave himself for me. Indeed, divine love dictated what Jesus did in giving himself for me. And that is the way that each one of us must indeed comprehend him and his love. So the life which I now live in the flesh, or this mortal body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and he gave himself for me. Indeed, the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Verse 12 is a contrast. he that is an hireling. And notice he is not the shepherd. He doesn't have the connection with the sheep. He doesn't have the love for the sheep. He that is an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. And again, this is where Jesus claimed us for his own. Why could he do that? Because he bought us with his blood there on the cross of Calvary. We were purchased. He not only created us, he bought us with his own blood. And so we are doubly his, so to speak. He that is an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he beholds the wolf coming. He's not able to stand up to the adversity, to the pain that that wolf would cause. He beholds the wolf coming. He leaves the sheep. He flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And so they're left wide open. The sheep are left wide open to any kind of torment the wolf would bring, because the hireling simply is not going to defend them. Verse 13, he flees because he is an hireling. And then the major thing, he careth not for the sheep. This is just exactly opposite who and what Jesus is. He does care for the sheep so much, again, that he gave his life there at the cross for them. Verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. He repeats it. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine own. And he does take care of his own. He knows them intimately, every intricate part of them. And then he has this, mine own know me. And that's exactly right. We do know Jesus for exactly who he is. Verse 15, even as the Father knoweth me. This, of course, is what the Jews were so adamant against, is that Jesus would call God his Father, and which would make Jesus God. And indeed he was, but the Jews would not accept that. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And once again, I lay down my life for the sheep. And then we come to verse 16, which includes us. We know that all God's dealings begin with Israel. But God also made provision for us Gentiles. Other sheep which I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. And that's the key to coming into this fold. That's the key to coming into a relationship with Jesus. Hear my voice. That is, hear the word of God. Listen to the word of God. Esteem highly the word of God. They shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock and one shepherd. This is a reference to the church. This is where Jesus announced that the church is going to be brought in. And indeed, it is going, the church will include both Jew and Gentile. They are made one in Christ. Verse 17, therefore. The little therefore is, it tells us it is directly because of Jesus' obedience to God's decree. As we read, my Father loves me because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. You can emphasize this commandment I've received from my Father. Jesus always subject to the will and the command of his Father. And so to lay down his life, that was the command of the Father. But it was also the command of the Father that he should take it up again in resurrection. Let us turn now to 1 John, the 4th chapter. First John 4 and verse 8. Very important that we understand this portion. He that loveth not knoweth not God. That's just a flat statement. If a person does not love, then he doesn't know God. And of course, if he doesn't love, then that means he doesn't have Christ. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Notice this, God is love. It's the very essence, the very characteristic of God. God is the very source of divine love. And there is but one way to receive that love, and that is in Christ Jesus. When God implanted Christ in our hearts, He implanted that love in us. You can put it down for reference. It's 1 John 4:10. It says this, herein is love. Not that we loved God. No, love didn't originate with us. We didn't even imitate it. But He loved us. And you will notice He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God demonstrated His love. This is, again, love in action. Love demands action. And the love of God demanded that God should send His Son to be the propitiation. He would pay for our sins, which is exactly what He did. Romans 8:39 says it this way. I know that you know it well, but this is what it says. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And that love of God, where? Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God demonstrated His love in Jesus Himself. Jesus became the personification of God and the personification of divine love. And so we draw this conclusion from all of these things that we have said. The love which God has placed in our hearts the moment we believe. That's where love came from in us. We didn't conjure it up. Only God could do that. But He placed divine love in our hearts the day we were born again. Now, our great task today, and it will continue clear on throughout our life in this world, our great task is simply to allow Him to manifest, that is, allow Christ to manifest that same love in these mortal bodies. Just surrender our body to Him. Let Him use it any way He wants to. And He will show divine love through us. He will manifest that love in these mortal bodies. All right. It is not quite noon, but that's all right. We are going to stand and be dismissed.